Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the privilege of the information that you reveal to us so we're not in the dark. But with that, help us, Lord, to bear the responsibility that comes with it, to share with others who don't know and are being misled. So bless me now, Lord. Organize the thoughts. Bring them out clearly and concisely. So when we leave here, we will know that we have heard directly from you and be ready and practiced for when the true deceptions come. So bless now to this end and thank you for hearing this prayer, because it is prayed in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The Battle for Your Soul, Part 4, The Harvest of the Counter-Reformation. I want to review with you briefly Part 1, 2, and 3 to set the stage. First of all, Part 1 was called The Plantings in the Garden. Here's what Satan planted in the garden, seeds that are now bearing fruit today, and this series reveals each one of these topics. And as you've already seen Part 1, 2, and 3, and you will see again today, it's incredible what's going on. And if you haven't seen 1, 2, and 3, you need to get on our internet. You can download those. You can listen to them podcast, or you can even get a CD, a DVD or CD from our booth back there. Our fine people, Lenny and those running the booth. What was planted in the garden? Spiritualism was planted in the garden. Eastern religion. New Age. Paganism. Appetite. Mass media. Jesuitism. And if you've been scratching your head on that, you won't today anymore. Evangelism. And let me just briefly say this. Remember, it says that Eve then gave to her husband and he did eat. That's the influence. And then the emerging church movement. And then you'll remember that Part 1 was about the emerging church movement. And you were as shocked as I was to discover that there's a Christian movement in existence right now in which they don't believe there's any longer absolute truth. Which means, therefore, we cannot be dogmatic about doctrine. You can't be pushing that on other people. We can't be dogmatic about moral standards, folks. And in just in a nutshell, homosexuality is okay. Number 3, dogmatic preaching must give away to dialogue between people of all beliefs. I like dialogue, but not at the expense of absolute truths. Number 4, spiritual feeling. Please underline that. Feeling and social action make up the only feeling and social action, the only reliable substance of Christianity. To capture the sacred feeling, there's that word feeling, see, we should reconnect with ancient worship forms. And finally, the ultimate goal of the emerging church movement is not evangelizing, bringing people to Jesus Christ so that they may benefit from His beautiful atonement on the cross of Calvary. Instead, it is to make the world a better place. By the way, make the world a better place, good idea, wouldn't you say? If you can only see the underlying circumstances surrounding that statement, you'll realize that this is the serpent in the garden at the tree spitting out his venom in such a way that Christians are going... Finally, Part 3, we looked at do not enter. Now, at this point, I want you to take out your bulletin insert, if you would. Notice I tried to leave you with something, so we're going to just look at Part 3, the bulletin insert define these terms, and then we're going to go to part four. So if you have your bulletin insert, by the way, if there's anybody here that doesn't have a bulletin insert that wants one, please raise your hand and the deacons will grab one as fast as they can and get it to you. Here we go. Remember, these were planted in the garden. Eastern religion. Religions originating in the Eastern world, India, China, Japan, Southeast Asia. They include Hinduism, Buddhism, and Sikhism. Meditation. Listen to this. The practice of stilling or emptying the mind by concentrating on a single point, breath, mantra, candle, etc., so you may be able to contact spiritual entities such as the higher self or spirit guides. And we talked about this last week. I'm going to highlight this in a second. This is serious here, and it's going on. Mantra, word or words repeated silently or verbally to induce an altered state. Contemplative prayer, going beyond thought by the use of repeated words or phrases. Desert fathers, remember, reconnect with the ancient forms of worship. The desert fathers are the monks who lived as hermits beginning around the 3rd century A.D. who taught the practice of contemplative prayer. New Age. Yes, New Age. The Age of Aquarius, supposedly the golden age when man becomes aware of his power and his what? His divinity. Satan said, you will be like gods if you eat this fruit. New Age. Ancient wisdom. The supposed laws of the universe that, when mastered, enable one to control his own reality. Another word for metaphysics or the occultism. That's occult. Occult. Witchcraft. Are you there? These were planted in the garden and they're in the church right now. In fact, it is so prevalent, it is mind-boggling. So we looked last week at Christian spiritual formation. We found out that Christian spiritual formation is defined as the growth and development of the whole person by an intentional focus on one's spiritual and interior life. Interaction with others in ordinary life. The spiritual practices, prayer, the study of Scripture, fasting, simplicity, solitude, confession, worship, etc. Folks, I do all of that. But I don't do it like the desert fathers. Okay? And they are teaching that. In fact, I got something for you that will knock your socks off. So we looked specifically last week at contemplative prayer. That's called centering prayer, breath prayer, silence, etc. Going beyond your thought, making your mind totally blank by the use of a repeated word or phrase to create an interior silence so you can connect, they say, with God. Now, I happen to have an email I received. I'm going to read it to you. I got it just a couple days ago. And this is from Julie. I want to thank Julie. Julie, if you're watching live streaming or you're picking it up on the website, I want to thank you. Dear Pastor Neary, I've been listening to your sermons on New Age and the emerging church. I appreciate very much your courage for tackling this subject. Before becoming a Seventh-day Adventist about 25 years ago, I was a New Age healer. I did not understand myself to be a New Ager, but in hindsight, of course, that is exactly what I was. This form of New Age healing at that time in Australia seemed to attract people from all religions, including Seventh-day Adventists. And Julie, if you were standing here, I'd say, get out of here. You're kidding me. You got to be kidding me. And then she says, in relation to the meditation that you had mentioned, I tried this one time and it does not always give pleasant results. I sat in a chair watching a candle flame and was humming something. Suddenly I felt like some unseen force was in control of my body. I had tears streaming down my cheek uncontrollably. My nose ran like a faucet, my body being pulled forward and backward in my seat position. I was scared out of my wits and I had no idea how I got out of it, save God's mercy. There is, of course, so much more, but I thought that I would share this with you to encourage you to continue to warn my brothers and sisters in your church and whoever listens over the internet. May God richly bless you, your sister in Jesus, Judy Portwood. Sat in a chair, stared at a candle, humming. Christian churches are teaching their members to do this. And last week we clearly saw in the book, Early Writings, that you're praying to you think God, but if you're in the wrong position praying, you're connecting with Satan. And he gives you light and power. But when you connect with God, he gives you light, power, love, joy, and peace. So brothers and sisters, this is a very serious issue. I want you to continue to come and be part of this series or get on the internet so that you can stay up, because each one will open this up a little more as we go along. And if you have any questions, we'll be getting to it. But right now, let's do part four, the harvest of the Counter-Reformation. There's a book, a cover that you probably all recognize, the Left Behind book series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. There were 18 books in the series, and they sold an astounding 65 million copies. And I want to tell you, in love as your brother, if you read these books, you totally wasted your mind and affected your brain very negatively, for they're not biblically based at all. All they are is exciting fiction. That's what they are. And 65 million people read these. Watch what it did. Left Behind is called dispensationalism. Now you've got your insert, so follow along. Here's what dispensationalism, the Left Behind series, teaches. The gap theory. They claim that in Daniel 9, the prophecy of the 70 weeks of years, mysteriously the 69th week ends, and the 70th last week of prophecy is cut off and moved miraculously to the future, and there's a 2,000 plus space in between. By the way, there is no prophecy or hermeneutical principle in the Bible supporting such a move as that, but that's what they do. It's called the gap theory. It teaches the rapture. Also, starting on this distant future, 70 weeks, they're kicked off when Jesus secretly raptures the Christians off the earth. And then the Jews begin to evangelize. Yes, and they rebuild the temple and start the sacrifices. See, we got to move the church out of the way so Israel can come back to the forefront. It goes back to the dispensation of the Israelites, because they were the original blessed people of God. And that Antichrist actually helps them for 3.5 years, and then in the middle of the 70th week of that prophecy in Daniel, suddenly he turns on them and shows himself to be Antichrist, and he torments them, the tribulation, for 3.5 years. And at the end of that 70th week, at the end of the 3.5 years of tribulation, the Jews who evangelize and their converts, then are taken home in Jesus' visible, literal second coming. Okay, you got that? Did you hear me? Does that sound anything at all to you like the second coming that's taught in Scripture? John Nelson Darby was a preacher in England, the Plymouth Brethren, started this thinking in 1870. Now check this out. Hold on. Wait a minute. Preacher, you mean to tell me that Jesus didn't talk about a gap theory and a rapture, and the disciples didn't talk about it, and the early church fathers didn't talk about, and the Nicene fathers didn't talk about, and the late, and during the Dark Ages, they didn't talk about it? And all of a sudden, this new theory shows up in 1870 that no one else knew about before. The rapture is accepted by the majority of the people today. And now we're getting down to points contact here. Are you ready? Hold on to your seats. Okay, I got to deviate just a tad here. The Protestant Reformation under Luther began in 1517 when he nailed to the door of his church 95 theses. That literally started the Protestant Reformation. And believe me, that it so devastated the Catholic Church that it took them a while to respond to the fact they were losing their members. And they then instituted, in about the middle of the 16th century, which would be about 15, I'm going to give you 1540, and I'll show you why, they counterattacked. It is called in the history books the Counter-Reformation. You can go on your internet and you can read all this for yourself. And listen to this. In the Counter-Reformation, their number one focus, their number one approach to this problem of losing gigantic numbers of members was they accepted and they instituted the Jesuit group Society for Jesus, founded by Ignatius Loyola, and the Pope gave them he conferred upon them their authority in 1540. Now, you've heard the word Jesuit. It's a very interesting organization because if you, again, go on the internet, it's amazing, it's all there. They have their constitution. It's called Constitutions. And in there, they tell their members that if you're a member of this group, the first thing you have to understand is we solely live to support the Pope and make sure that he remains dominant at any cost, and any strategy is okay as long as it supports the Pope. Now, I'm going to get into this more deeply. This was planted in the garden, folks. I want you to know. It is now bearing fruit that are incredible. I'm going to tie all this together in a second, and hopefully you're going to go like, you're kidding me, this can't be. Yes, it can be, and it is. The Jesuit order in their constitution even say that it's all right to assassinate leaders of countries if it serves the cause of the papacy. You're going, no, it can't say that. Well, it's up to you to get on the internet and prove it yourself. Get in your history books. You'll find it. It is there. It is glaringly there. Their first strategy was to accept and initiate the Jesuit order, and their job was to go out everywhere in the world, especially the universities, and become professors and teachers of young people. Well, there are three methods of interpreting the book of Daniel. Now, I'm going to tie it all together. Just hold on to your seat, okay? The first one is called preterist. You see it in your outline? It's up there, preterist. And what does preterist mean? That you look at the book of Revelation, and all of it has already been fulfilled in the past. It's already happened. None of it is pertinent to us today. That's called a preterist view. It it is not that well held. There are those, a number of those that believe it, but not the majority. Okay, and then there's a futurist view. And the futurist view teaches that except for the first three chapters, which are talking about John and his day, the whole rest of the book happens in the future. Remember the gap theory? The last week of Daniel is suddenly miraculously cut off and doesn't begin till sometime in the future at the rapture. That's the future interpretation, futurist interpretation. And finally, the third alternative, if you want to understand the book of Revelation, is called the historical or the continuous. Revelation is a progressive history of the church from the first century to the end of time. Now, guess who believes that? Guess who believes that? Seventh-day Adventists. Mm-hmm. It's continuous. It started in the first century at the fall of Jerusalem, and it goes to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It hasn't been all fulfilled in the past, and it isn't in the future. It's ongoing. Some of it hasn't happened. Some of it has happened, but it's still ongoing. And by the way, where did the Seventh-day Adventists get such an interpreted hermeneutical principle that this is historicist or continued? Where did that come from? The Reformers. Thank you. Yes, Martin Luther, all of the Reformers, to the very last man, saw the book of Revelation as a continuous history and prophecy, that some of it was fulfilled, some of it's being fulfilled, and some of it's in the future. But none of them saw it already done, and none of them certainly saw it in the future. Why? Because, and by the way, where did the Reformers get it, folks? They got it from the early church fathers, who got it from the apostles, who got it from Jesus. There was no preterist. There was no futurist. And yes, I'm reading, okay? And I will tell you, some of the early church fathers began almost immediately to pervert the teachings of Christianity. But it wasn't the disciples, and it wasn't Jesus. And it progressed over a period of time. But back then, there were no such thing as a preterist or futurist. And so we got it. The problem was that the Protestant teaching of the Reformation, of the historical or continuous approach to that, nailed the Pope as Antichrist. Do you understand? I'm giving you history now. Nails them. They couldn't wiggle out of it. Beautiful exposition by these intelligent men like Martin Luther. And they said, look here, clearly the book of Revelation points out that the Pope is Antichrist. The system. That's why he tried to reform it. He didn't try to leave it. He tried to reform it. And so the Catholic Church was losing big time, and they had to do something. They came up with the Counter-Reformation. They called upon the Jesuits. Now, let me show you something that I hope, as I'm wrapping it up now, I want you to meet Francisco Ribera, 1537. I believe that should be 1601. I don't think that's right. And guess what? He happens to be a Jesuit priest. And if you look at your insert, you will discover that the Jesuit Ribera, about AD 1580, wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation in which he proposed the futurist system. Wait a minute, Pastor. You said it came from Darby in 1870. You look on the internet, some of them say that. But if you look deeper in the internet, you will discover that Darby got it from somewhere. He got it from Edward Irving. Well, where did Edward Irving get it from? He got it from Lucunza. By the way, Lucunza was another Jesuit priest who was before Ribera. Well, where did Lucunza get it from? He got it from Ribera. Ribera came to the Pope as a Jesuit priest and says, I know how to get you out of hot water. Well, tell me, how is that? By the futurist hermeneutical principle interpretation of the Bible. In other words, everything is in the future. Pope, you're not even in the mix. I love it. I accept it. Let's teach it. The number one theory of the return of Jesus that's accepted by Christians today is nothing more than Jesuit theology. Didn't come by Darby. And by the way, one of the number one countries besides England that supports this belief was Protestant United States. I say was because we're no longer a Protestant nation. In case you didn't know that. Folks, you see, there's a web here, and I'm trying to unspin it as best I can for you to bring you confidence in the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of prophecy, prepare you for what's coming. For there are people out there that love Jesus that are staring at candles and humming. And they're not connecting with Jesus, okay? They're trying to empty their mind, and nowhere in the Bible or Spirit of prophecy does it tell you to empty your mind. Nowhere. It tells you when you pray, say, or when you pray, go into your closet and pray to the God in heaven. Speak to Him. Ask and you will receive. Knock. Seek. But lo and behold, if that isn't enough for you, check this one out. There is another Jesuit priest named Louis D. Alcazar. And he wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation in 1614. And he came to the Pope and said, I am not satisfied with Ribera's teaching. I've got another method for getting you out of hot water. Oh yeah, what is it? I've decided that the whole book of Revelation is in the past. Preterism. So where in the world did these two aberrant theories of interpreting the book of Daniel come from? The Jesuits. For what purpose? To elevate the Pope back to power. And what are the Protestants doing? Swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. What are you Adventists doing? That's up to you to decide, folks. Are you going to stick with the church? You're going to stick with the Bible? You're going to stick with Jesus and the atonement? I'm telling you, the emerging church denies the atonement. See, because the atonement makes the Christians more exclusive. I hope you're seeing the connection here. And we don't want any other group to feel isolated or left out. The only legitimate approach to the book of Revelation is historicist, and the two other options came from the Jesuits during the Counter-Reformation, and most of the Christians believe either one or the other. That was planted in the garden. It's bearing great fruit right now. I do not want my people affected negatively. I want you to be informed about what's going on. I'm not done here, by the way. Next week, I continue. We're going to go a little deeper into what else the Jesuits did. I want those of you streaming live with me, don't get mad at me. Hang in there. This thing is going to come clear. We're in a battle here, folks. This is a war. I'm not just preaching a sermon to tickle your ears so you can leave and be happy. I'm preaching a sermon that my heart can be settled, that my people are actually getting the truth that many pulpits are not expounding on, and they're being misled and being lost for eternity. That's what's happening. Satan knows what he's doing. And so look closely at this little, I want you to look closely at this little outline that you have. And there it is. The preterist is on this end. And notice, all of it happened in the book of Revelation before 538. Okay? Or the futurist is at the other end. Can you see it on your little? I know it was small, but believe me, I couldn't get it any bigger off the internet, and I certainly couldn't invent something like that on the computer. I don't know how. The future, look, it starts after the rapture. Has the rapture occurred yet? No, so you see, Antichrist isn't here. See? Oh man, you got me out of this. Thank you, Jesuits. I appreciate it. Now I smell like a rose again. But in the middle is the historicist position that recognized the Antichrist rose in 538, reigned until 798, comes back to life, and reigns till the end when Jesus returns. There is no such thing as a rapture. It isn't in the Bible. Take your Bible and say, Pastor, Jesus said, and there will be a rapture before my second coming. Look at this quote. By the way, here's the book. I'm not laying it on the ground because you're not getting it. is the prophetic faith of our fathers, Leroy Froom, a Seventh-day Adventist, 4 volumes. This is just number 2. I'm telling you, this man, I've read these, this man is incredible. And believe me, a lot of the stuff I don't understand, okay? But I'm working on it. I have to reread chapters over and over again. 4 volumes, they're all this big. And Carlo, this one needs to be rebound because it's falling apart. So I'll give it to you after church. And leave Carla alone. She's not going to give it to you. It says in this book on page 486, she, the Catholic Church, felt the tremendous force of the arguments used against her. She discovered to her dismay that she could no longer hold her members by mere rituals, dogma, and force. There must be reasoned evidence and plausible exposition of Scripture prophecy to counter the largely unbroken harmony of the Reformed position. Historicism. The Pope is the Antichrist. Dot, dot, dot. And then it says, therefore, Rome's answer to the Protestant Reformation was twofold, though actually conflicting and contradictory. Did you get that? Futurism and preterism contradicts each other. And the Catholic Church accepted both, and they say, whatever, take one or the other, but do not do historicist. And so I'm going to show you in closing my last book. And this is chained to the wall of my library. I just finished reading this book. It's called Barbalon. And it goes into the Jesuits. And by the way, this is volume 1. I'm just starting volume 2. Now I'm going to read to you from page 30. I want you to see what it says on page 32. They're not 30, 32. Where it explains the origin and the beliefs of the Jesuits. And here's what it says. I'm going to read right from there, and you look on the screen. Here's what it says. The Constitutions, see Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus, better known as the Jesuits, wrote an entire constitution. And in it, look what it says. This gives you a glimpse at the lengths they will go to in order to protect the Pope and confuse the Protestants. The Constitutions further revealed that in order to fulfill the Society's mission, the members of the Order would create philosophies of left and right, so that the world would be divided in opposing factions, the left and the right, the preterist contradiction of the futurist, and the futurist contradiction of the prejudice. Of the preterists. And we don't care if it contradicts. We just want to create confusion so that the Pope will always be elevated to the position of intelligence and authority, and people will flock to his leadership. Folks, they are making sure that the Protestant Church is soon ready to accept the Pope as the leader of the new world order. You've got to come next week and the week after and see for yourself as we continue this series, The Battle for Your Soul. Father in heaven, I want to pray that you would enlighten our minds and hearts with the facts that were presented, to the insert that was given, that when it goes home with them, they look at it and they'll remember my voice, the thoughts that were presented, key in on the internet, and read it for themselves. And Father, how dare we as your people not unveil what Satan is successfully doing around the world to people who you love and have died for and do nothing about it. Forgive us for our laxness, our slowness. Forgive our own church for the areas where they've been weak and frailing in this and not standing up and even seeing the danger. Lord, these are my people that you gave to me, and I've been given to you, Lord. And I want you to keep us all understanding and deceived by Satan's, so we can honor you and your kingdom. So don't let anybody leave here without making a decision today. Speak to them right now, Lord. Say something, even to the children, if they're listening. Lord, speak to the children. Say, I love you. I forgive you. I want you to make things right. I want you to spend more time in prayer. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to meditate on my word, but not the way they're teaching you to meditate. Lord, say something to every person before they walk out the door. And then teach us how to give you and you alone the praise and the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.